Oh, it's so good to be here with you guys. Sitting right there, looking around this room, and when Chris was talking about the history of this church, and I know we're not going to do this, but I couldn't help but remember those who've gone before us. 65 years, that's a testimony to you guys. Yes, it's a testimony to them that their legacy has brought us to this point, but without you guys, it stops. But it didn't. You're still here, you're still going, and you're still carrying on this wonderful testimony, this wonderful legacy, this vision that Brother Don had so many years ago. I have a picture, I thought y'all had it hanging up here, but you didn't, and I found it when I was cleaning out a lot of my dad's stuff after he passed away this past year or so. It's a picture of him giving Don and Anna Ruth a plaque when they looked at about the time they retired from doing it. And he was standing right here at this pulpit and leaned over and told Pastor Matt, who's our worship and pastor and student pastor and video person, he does everything. And he's been a big help to me in the last year or so. I leaned over to him and I said, I have a daughter who's now in sixth grade in the beginner band. I leaned over and I said, I remember, you want to talk about grace. This church is so full of grace. They allowed me, who was a beginner trumpet player, to sit on a little chair right over here and play. I don't think it was Amazing Grace, but I can't remember which one it was, but it was out of a hymn book, and it was bad. I mean, I know the Lord says make a joyful noise, but his ears were hurting that day. And but we did that, and just the memories through the many years coming up here and helping and serving. When nobody was around, my brother and I had wheelchair races back in the back room and getting in trouble. Brother Don caught us. We had a wreck and fell over. And Brother Don came over and I thought we were in real bad trouble. He leaned down and said, who won? So, I've always loved him. Love you guys. Love the history here. Got a message I want to share with you today about tearing down walls. You ever got to the point where you just seem like you're just wrestling with concrete? It just seems like some kind of walls or struggles that you have in your life just seem to, no matter what you do, what you've done, no matter, especially if you've done things in the past and it's helped before, for some reason it's not working this time, and you're trying to overcome some wall or an obstacle or some kind of struggle in your life, and you're wondering why. You know the Lord wants you to overcome this, and you know that God is guiding you through this, but for some reason it just seems like everything you've done in the past is not working, and for some reason God's going to call you to do some things that are really uncommon to you to help bring down this wall. We all, if you've been in church any amount of time, you've heard the story about the walls of Jericho, and I'm going to share those verses with you. I'm going to read, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to look at the first five verses. I'm going to read those to you now, and then we're going to have a word of prayer and get started. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the reading of your word, and we thank you now as you bear witness with your spirit and our spirit, so that each one of us will only hear what you want us to hear today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes there are walls that just don't come down, no matter how much we try, no matter what different things we do, but we just know they're supposed to come down. I think there's I think we can take from this passage, I think there's four things that we can see that they did, that God used them to do, to bring down this wall. The first thing is, a battle against walls will bring about a need to see what is not there. Turn to somebody and say, you need to see. Two people heard me. Let's try that again. Turn to somebody and say, you need to see.
You need to see.
A battle against the walls will bring about a need to see what is not there. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Now, I'm sure Joshua's sitting there, he's looking at these walls, and he's thinking, what are you talking about? The walls are still standing, right? The gates are still there. Nobody's coming in. Nobody's going out. There's this great wall in front of us. What are you talking about? See, I've already given it to you. The word given is a past tense word. And it's almost like he's probably thinking, the walls are still standing. What are you talking about? You've given this to us in the past. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 defines what we are as children of God. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We understand that this is what defines us as God's children, right? We're faith walkers, not sight followers, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, see, the Lord wants Joshua to see something before it has even happened, as if it has already happened to him. It's called faith. But here's the thing. The walls are shut up. Look at this. Now Jericho is securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Sometimes we have walls that we're trying to overcome, and we don't even realize sometimes the walls are there because of us. Whether it's because we're walking faithfully with the Lord and the enemy doesn't like it, so the enemy has this great wall up. Or maybe it's because of some of our poor decisions we've made, and all of a sudden there's a wall been built because of us. Either way, there's this wall that sometimes we face that's really because of us. And God wants Joshua to see first. Before they even do anything else, the first thing he wants them to see that he has given them this city called Jericho. If this is true, why would God ask Joshua to see what is not there? Think about this for a second. It's this. I think I've come to this understanding. Because, you see, you can't accomplish what you can't see yourself doing.
Right.
You realize that? You can't accomplish what you can't see yourself doing. For instance, all the great sports guys out there, the Tiger Woods in golf, you have Wayne Gretzky in hockey, you got Michael Jordan in basketball. All three of these guys have all said the same thing. They have imagined in their heads a shot or a putt or a hockey hit or something, or a throw through the basket. They've imagined it happening before it's even happened thousands of times. And God is like this with Joshua. He's wanting him to see something as if it has happened before it has happened. I've given past tense. I've already given this city to you. I just need you to see that, what I see. If you see yourself failing, why think you'll ever succeed something? If you already see yourself as a failure, why are you surprised when you're a failure?
Right.
If you see yourself not accomplishing something, why are you surprised when you don't accomplish it?
Right.
Think about that for just a second. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. We become, over time, what we think. Throughout Scripture, listen to some of these examples. I'm going to give you several examples here. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 25, listen to this. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. They're writing to those in Rome, and they're trying to describe hope. And hope is including, our living hope has to include a percentage of faith involved with it, so that we can see that which we don't see. Goes on. Listen to some others. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. He says, And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Down to verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. Paul says, while we're living in this body with our finite minds, there's some stuff that we just can't see real clearly. We just see in a glass dimly. We're not very clear. And so that's why it takes faith to live in a world where we can't see real clear. It takes faith. Not only that, over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The very definition, the Bible itself defines its own word by defining faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things
not seen.
Not seen. If you see it, and you can see how it's going to happen, you can see all the plans, you can see every step you got to take for something to accomplish, right? There's no faith involved. And if there's no faith involved, according to God's word, you can't please Him. Let me say that again, because I don't think you even heard what I just said. It takes faith to see what's not there, and you've got to take a step of faith. If you can see all the steps before you, you're not pleasing God.
That's right.
The Bible says without faith, it is impossible. That means there's no other way to please God. It is impossible to please God without faith.
Amen.
And faith has to have some substance of seeing something that's not there. And that's what God told Joshua. See, I have given you this, Jericho. In fact, for time's sake, we're not going to go jump off there, but in Jeremiah chapter 1, go look at that. God tells Jeremiah, he says, what do you see, Jeremiah? He says, well, I see this, 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 this. And God goes, you're right, you did good. Now let me tell you, what do you see here? And he says, well, I see this. He goes, God gives him the prophecy of that vision. He says, well, this is what that vision means. If you read over that really quickly, you miss the very first part. The very first part, God tests Jeremiah to see if he can see clearly before he actually gives him the vision that he really wants him to see. So the first thing he sees has nothing to do with what God's wanting him to do. He's just testing him to see if he has eyes that see with faith. And he did. And he passed that test. So as a result of passing that test, God gave him the real vision. So, a battle against walls will bring about a need to see what is not there. Not only will a battle against walls bring about a need to see what is not there, it's also going to bring about a need to do what is not normally done. You heard of the term crazy? Crazy is literally doing the same thing you've done all 500 times before it and expecting a different outcome. That's crazy, right? So, like my dad always said, I used to say, Dad, I tried this, I tried that, he tried that. And he tried something different. I said, so what do you mean? Something you've never done before. I said, well, no, I'm trying to do this. I've done it a million times before. He said, well, that's your problem. You're still doing it the same way. Maybe you need to try something different.
Right.
You know? He said, that's not rocket science, son. But sometimes, to bring about walls to come down, sometimes we're going to have to do what is not normally done. Look at chapter 6, verse 3. And if you're reading through this, you probably read over this 100 times and never caught this. He said, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. He calls out. He says, you men of war, here's what I want you to do. I want you to gird your swords. I want you to be cocked and ready to go. I want you to load up everything you're ready to go. I want you to polish your weapons. No. He says, you men of war, you guys who know how to go to battle, I want you to walk. That's it. Doesn't tell them to prepare for war. Doesn't tell them to get their weapons and take with them. Nothing. He just says, I want you to march. That's all. I just simply march. Wait, you want the men of war to march, to not battle, not even psych out the enemy? I mean, okay, I can understand maybe marching around. Let's march around with our weapons, and while we're marching around, let's kind of prod them a little bit, you know. The NFL now has a penalty against this. You know, when you're kind of agitating somebody on and you want to make them mad or get them riled up, you can get a penalty for that, you know. Well, I would think these men of war would want to do that, you know.
Right.
I mean, this is not their first battle. They watched Pharaoh and his whole army just get washed away by water. I mean, the power of God is with these guys, and they've seen it over and over and over again. Like we see the power of God over and over and over again, and yet the next day we whine and cry as if we've never seen the power of God in our life.
Right.
But here they are, and he says, men of war, I want you to just march. Maybe if we have walls that are not coming down for us, maybe it's because we're trying to do it in our strength and in our own ability and skills. For instance, these men of war, can you imagine this? Hey, let the priests do the marching part. But on the sixth day when the wall falls, let us do our part. Then we can go to battle, right? That's what we know to do. We know how to go to battle. We know how to. We're men of war. We know how to do this. Let us do what our skills and our ability and our talents and what we know, all my history, all my knowledge, everything I've read, I know what to do. Let me do what I know what I need to do. And God's like, if I let you do what you know what you need to do, you get the glory, not me.
Amen.
So he says, I know I need the men of war to just march. I just need them to march. Listen, to think that anything we have is from us and our ability and efforts is foolish. I'm going to say this slowly because I really want everybody to hear this today. To think that anything we have from us and from our abilities and efforts is not only foolish, it's also demonic. Satan has got you to think that anything you have, everything you have, the breath you have, the lungs in your body, the fact you woke up this morning, if you have a vehicle, your vehicle, your house, if you have a house, if you think that was, you accomplished that and you got that, you are caught by a demon believing a lie straight from hell. Everything we have is from God. He gives us what we have.
Amen.
The Bible talks about every good and perfect gift is from Him. In fact, if you believe that, you're just like Jonah, who sat up on the mountain and he was waiting for the fire to fall down and consume all the Ninevites, right? And he was mad because God wouldn't do that, right? He's having a pity party. Instead of vine, a gourd grew up over his head and gave him some shade. While he's mad, while he's in his pity party, God even provided shade. He said, how do you know God did this? Because God told him a little bit later. He says, you have no mercy on these people, and you have more mercy on a gourd that you had nothing to do with, and even while you were in your pity party, I still took care of you.
That's right.
And yet we think, it's all because I created that shade. I'm over here. God's over there, and I'm over here. I got my own little shade. I got my own little self. And God's like, well, I even protected you with a little shade. Even in your own little pity party, I'm still right there with you. He's always there with us. He's always doing that for us. He's taking care of us. And we don't even realize it half the time. We don't even realize even a percent. I don't even know how much because I'm not God and I don't have His eyes to see and I don't see the spiritual realm around us. But I guarantee you, there's probably thousands and thousands of things a day that God does for us that we don't even see. There's angels that protect us and we don't even see. That's why Elijah that said, oh God, open my servant's eyes so he can see what I see. A battle against walls will bring about a need to do what is not normally done. You men of war, I just want you to march. In fact, I want you to keep your mouth shut. He says, I'll tell you on the day when I want you to yell. But until then, don't even whisper. Don't even whisper, don't say nothing. Just march. Listen to this, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Not only the work that comes through you, but even the will to do it inside of you. It is God who does that work in you, both the will to do for His good pleasure. What you have is from God. Your abilities, your talents, your accomplishments, all of that, your jobs, is from God. Now, a lot of times we say, oh, well, I've been given a poor hand compared to everybody else. Well, the minute you start to compare yourself to somebody else, get ready. You're going to find somebody better than you. You will. But at the same time, if you want to keep looking, you're going to find somebody worse than you. But don't compare to other people. Just walk with the Lord, you and the Lord. And remember, just your walk with the Lord, okay? A battle against walls will bring about not only a need to see what is not there, sometimes it's going to bring about a need to do what is not normally done. Remember, you're told the men of war march around the city. Not only that, I want you to walk close to the wall where you can be shot at or even made fun of or even fail in front of people. How many times do we not even attempt something because we're afraid to fail?
That's right.
Yeah, people are watching. I don't want to fail in front of people. These men of war, this is their what they do for a living. This is their career. This is their job. Their calling is to be men of war. And they're going to march around the city close enough that they get shot at and made fun of. But yet they had that faith to see what was not seen and to do what was not normally done. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Be careful what you put your trust in that you see. You see all these chariots, you see all the horses, and you're putting your trust in all this stuff that you can see, and oh, I can see all this, and if I see all this, if this will take place, then it'll fix, and it'll bring about God's will over here. And God's like, you're putting your trust and your glory and everything but me. Let me guide you. Let me show you the glory. Let me show you. All you got to do is take steps of faith, and I'll show you my glory through your steps of faith. Isaiah 31:1. Same thing. Woe to those. Not only does he say, don't put your trust in chariots and stuff, but if you do, he's saying, woe to you if you do that. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. He's saying, woe to you. It's going to be bad for you if you do. What happens is we trust in something we can see. We trust in all this evidence that we see in front of us, and we put our hope in all that stuff, and all of a sudden it starts working, right? You ever do that? You put your trust and faith in stuff that you can see, and it starts working for you, and all of a sudden it starts growing, and things are going good, and all of a sudden and you think, man, I've accomplished this. It's all working great. It's working awesome. It's working out. All of a sudden, God's going to rip that blanket out from under you, that carpet right out from under you, and you're going to fall flat on your face, and you're going to go, how did I get here? But what happened to the chariots? The walls, the wheels fell off. What happened to the horses? Guess what? They went lame. What happened to the horsemen? They're very strong. Guess what? They got sick. You say, oh, that don't work. What? COVID shut down the world. Right? Think about it for a second. Be careful in what you put your trust in and your hope in. Because even though it may be blessing you and may be working for you, if it's not a step of faith, he's saying woe to you if you're putting your trust in all that, because that's getting the glory, not God. And that doesn't take a step of faith. That's a step of sight. Now, in that, Proverbs chapter 3, if you've ever been in church any amount of time, you've heard this verse. But look at it from this standpoint, Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. We always stop right there. We read 5 and 6, but we forget to read 7. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He's saying, if you're not trusting in the Lord with all your heart, if you're leaning on your own understanding as opposed to not leaning on it, if in all your ways you're not acknowledging Him, not only is He not going to direct your paths, He's saying that evil is happening. He's saying, fear the Lord and depart from evil. He's attaching that all as demonic things. Part of the reason why the walls have not fallen is because we are letting something else and somebody else get the glory. Third, a battle against walls will bring about a need to repeat what's already been done. Listen to Joshua chapter 6, verse 4. Joshua chapter 6, verse 4. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times. You shall do this 6 days, and on the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times. Listen, a battle against walls will bring about a need to repeat what's already been done. Turn to somebody and say, you have to do what you've already done. You've got to do what you've already done. Listen, the seventh day, do what has already been done. But this time, God says, I want you to do it seven times. Now, wait a minute. Okay, we've done this. We've been faithful. We've marched around the city six, one time every day for 6 days. And this is the seventh day. Seven, the number seven, always the sign of completion or perfection, right? So on the seventh day, we're just going to march around. One time, we'll be done. Joshua says, no, God says we're going to march around the city today. We're going to do it seven times. Seven times. Listen, tearing down walls that have been built over many years and experiences don't just come down in a day. Your struggles, your obstacles, the things that you're bound to because of bad habits, they are not going to come down in a day. So many times, so many people say they're caught up in all these addictions and struggles and all that. They say, oh, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And then the next day they fall again and they go, I don't get it. I got saved yesterday. Well, you got saved. Your flesh didn't. Your flesh is still struggling with what you struggled with yesterday. And the reason why you're struggling with it is because you're addicted to it because of bad habits. And it's going to take more than one day to get out of that. Check this out. Most walls and obstacles are simply created by poor, repetitive habits that create a bondage to that wall and obstacle struggle. Notice the wall did not fall until daily repetitive habits became compounded repetitive habits. It's when what we force ourselves to do daily becomes so normal that it happens even without not realizing it. You ever tried to struggle to make a good habit, and you've done it, and you've done it, and you've done it, and done it, and next thing you know, two or three days have passed, and you go, oh yeah, I forgot I was going to try to make this become a habit. All of a sudden, it's become part of your nature. It just starts to happen. It's got to get to that point where it becomes compounded repetitive habits, not daily repetitive habits. It's when a bad habit has been replaced with a good habit. Listen, number seven always is the number for completion. Obeying what God has told us to do, sometimes we're going to have to complete the obey test. The obey test is usually takes seven times. Every time in the Bible you'll see it, seven. There's a test along with the number seven. For instance, you remember the three Hebrew sons, the three Hebrews young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? People say, I said, what test did they have? Well, they were going to be thrown in the fire. Actually, yes. That would be like one day, right? But the real test was that they heated the oven. You remember how many times?
Seven times.
Can you imagine heating it one time? All right, we want to bow down? Nope. Heat it one more time. We want to bow down? Nope. Seven times they went through that obey test. And King, we already know what we're going to say on this. We're not going to bow down to your king. No matter what happens, we know God can heal us. We know God can help us. We know God can bring us through the fire. But if not, we're still not going to bow down to your idol. And what do we know the rest of the story? There wasn't just three people walking in the fire. There was what? Four. And the fourth one was like the Son of Man. Jesus walking in the fire with them, right? Another good example of that is found in 2 Kings chapter 5. Verses 1 to 15. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was also a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." The king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he sends, Naaman goes, and Naaman goes up to Elisha's house, and Elisha comes out and says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." And Naaman got mad. He's like, "What about the rivers and the Nile and all these other places? The Abana and the Farpar, the rivers of Damascus, aren't those better than the waters over in Israel? Man, I'm not going to do that." And he leaves. And his servant runs up to him and says, Wait. What if he would have told you to do something grand and marvelous? You would have done it then, right?" "Well, yeah." He said, "Why not even at least try this?" So Naaman goes, 7 times he had to bathe in the river Jordan. 7 times he had to do that to show obedience. And the obedience that sometimes comes 7 times. So on the 7th day, they had to do the obey test 7 more times on the same day. Now then, we know that a battle against walls brings about a need to see what is not there. We see that it brings about a need to do what is not normally done. But we also see that the walls bring about a need to repeat what's already been done. And then lastly, it's going to bring about a need to unify to bring about the victory. Sometimes you can't do it yourself. Actually, most of the time. In fact, after he made Adam, what did he say? It's not good for man to be alone. He made a helpmate for him. You know, go look in Ecclesiastes. It's better for one if they have another that helps them when they fall. You know, we are made for fellowship. We are made to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. Yes, we have to bear our own burden, but in the same passage in Scripture, it also says to bear one another's burden. It shall come to pass when there's a unity. Look in Joshua chapter 6, verse 5, the last verse there. "And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people," that's everybody, "shall go up." If you didn't think that was all of them, listen to this. "Every man straight before him." In other words, you all have to be unified together with one voice, one mind, one purpose. Just think about it. Jesus taught this whole principle when they started calling him Satan. He was like, "What are you talking about? Why are you calling me Satan?" He said, "A house divided will what?
Fall."
Right? There's strength in numbers. And we've got to be there for each other. We've got to be there for one another. You've got to unify to make walls come down. Look at all the examples in chapter 6 here of Joshua. Listen to all these verses, in verses 6 through 16, all these phrases. "Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant.'" So here's the priest. He said, "You've got a part to play. Men of war, you've got a part to play. Certain priests, you've got to carry the Ark of the Lord. Some of you are going to march in front. Some of you are going to march in back. We all got a part to play. We've all got a part to be in the whole parade there. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests did what he had told them to, bearing the 7 trumpets of horns, ram's horns, before the Lord, advanced and blew the trumpets. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall all shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, went on continually blowing the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after them. Every day, same old, they did this 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same exact manner. On that day, only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, all of them, 'Shout, for the Lord has given past tense, you got to see what's not been seen, has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Everybody was involved in this. Everybody was unified with one purpose, one mind, one team, and as a result, the walls came down. Psalms 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Here he said he's fixing to leave. This is one of the last letters Paul's writing. He's writing the last letter he writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. How do you know when you're complete? When you are of one mind, and you live in peace, and the God of love and peace is with you.
Amen.
Unified. One mind. You say, well, what do we need to do? What's the vision? I can tell you what the vision is. I heard it this time last year. Pastor Larry cast the vision last year. This church has a purpose. It has a vision. Get behind your pastor. Say, what do we need to do, Pastor? Let's go. What do we have to do? God gives you a vision. He's not done with you. 65 years. Guys, God's not done with you.
That's right.
He's got a purpose for this church.
That's right.
And it should be exciting.
It is.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Paul says, my whole joy is not in the church grows. My joy is not in thousands and thousands of people getting baptized. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Just knowing that people dwell in unity, in one mind and purpose. It's exciting. It's something to be a part of. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's through agreeing and unity that there is power in prayer and in accomplishing anything we are tasked to do by God. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 6, it tells us, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. So, you ever seem to do all God has told you to do and still not see any kind of accomplishments? It took them not only doing the same exact thing each and every day for 6 days, but then on the seventh day, doing it all again, even seven times in the seventh day. He had made them see what they couldn't see before, that was already given to them. Then he wouldn't let them lean on their understanding, or their formulas, or their counting of costs, or their abilities, but rather only on God himself, so that he can get all of the glory. It's only God. And the wall, you ready for this? And the wall did not come down until their following God through obedience and surrender to their authorities through complete unity had come to a point that had become a second nature to them and had left being a daily repetitive habit, but had become a compounded repetitive habit. In other words, they had passed the seven times obedience test with flying colors, and as a result, the wall came tumbling down. Listen, we all got walls in our life. There's things we struggle with. Maybe it's something from your past. Maybe you're holding on to the past. Maybe there's someone that you're still holding on to from the past. Maybe it's some unforgiveness. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's being neglected. Maybe it's unfairness. There's so much evil in the world that we can hold on to all the time. And the foolish thing about it all is we're holding on to poison and wondering why we're not getting better.
Right.
Why do we hold on to that which is evil and in the past? The things that hurt us. Yes, new chapters are going to happen in our life. Man, I've gone through more chapters in the last 5 years than I would ever care anybody to have to go through. But you know why I'm here today? It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the formula. It's the same reason these walls came down this day. All they were obedient and took steps of faith. All I've tried to do is just be obedient to my Lord and take steps of faith that He guides me to take. Listen, the walls did not come tumbling down because they could see the weakness in the walls. The walls did not come down because they could see openings in the gates. They did not come down because they thought they were stronger men of war than the men of Jericho were. The walls did not come down because they were men of war, simply marching, not going to battle. The walls did not come down because simply obeying one time, wanting the wall to fall. Here's us. God, I took that one step of faith. Why didn't the wall fall? He said, because you're doing it to get the wall to fall. Not to have a relationship with me so that I can get the glory. Because then I'll take care of the wall. But you and I have a relationship that's about us. And I become the prize, not the wall being torn down. The wall didn't come down because simply obeying one time the wall would fall. They had to overcome a whole lot of disobedience. A lot of times they had to keep showing that they were going to be obedient. 6 times for 6 days. One time a day for 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th day. That's a lot of obedience to finally get through to God and say, I believe you now. How many times do we have to tell God, I really believe you now? He's like, you've been here before. You've told me that a bunch of times. Pastor Jay, you've told me that a lot of times. And you always fall back once you get what you want. I just need you to see what you really want is not the wall coming down. What you really want and what you really need is me. Because with God, we have everything. And without God, we've got nothing. He taught the children of Israel this when he told them they could go into the land of milk and honey. But he said, I'm not going with you. Moses said that we're not going with you. We're not going to go either. If you're not going to come, we're not going to go with you. He said, you can go into the land of milk. You can have the blessings that are there. You can have it all. I want to give it to you. You can have it all, but I'm not going in there with you. They came to a point in their life where they realized it's not about the walls coming down. It's not about the land of milk and honey. It's not about healing. This last couple weeks, they told me that I had a mass in my kidney. Left me for about 2 months thinking I had cancer. I Googled everything. Don't do that. And then I got to a point where I just said, you know what, God? It's just you and me, buddy, on this journey. My dad's gone. My mom's gone. My kid had seizures in front of me all the time. I got friends that are gone. All my pastor friends and people that I loved and looked up to are gone. I know where I'm coming, if this is your will. I don't think it is. I think you've got more to do. But I'm going to trust you. Just going to be honest, because God allows us to be honest. He can handle our honesty. I'm just going to tell you I don't like it. But I'm going to trust you. Because it came to a point he reminded me, look, if God heals me from this, I'm going to pass from something else. So what's the victory? It's not the healing. The victory and the prize is that I get God. In the end, no matter what happens in our stories, no matter what chapters are written, in the end, we have a home. We have a home we get to go to. That home is not this one. We're just passing through. We freak out in the earth when things go bad. And we're like, what's happened to heaven? And God's like, oh, can you just wait? You think earth is heaven. Wait till you get here. Or things go good, and we go, oh, man. We just forget. But listen to this. The walls didn't come down because they obeyed one time. They didn't come down because they could see weaknesses in it. They didn't come down because they were men of war. They didn't come down because they simply obeyed one time. The walls came tumbling down because God was Jehovah. God was Jehovah, their provider. He was the plan. He was the purpose. He was the action, and he was the provider of the victory. No other way, no other excuse, and most importantly, no other glory. Nobody got any glory that day but God. God tore the walls down. God's got walls that he wants to tear down in our lives. Had a first-time visitor at our church over at Allen this morning. And he came up to me and he said, I struggled with addictions my whole life. I got saved. I went through the 12-step programs, all of them, you name them, NAI, AA, all those. He said, I went through Celebrate Recovery. I did all those things. And then just one day, I came to this point that I realized, a program. And God was like, when you get done with all the doctors, hear what I'm saying. When you get done with all the doctors, when you get done with all the programs, and you're ready for me to tear down this wall, come to me. No matter what is, you're going to have to swallow a lot of pride. You're going to have to swallow a lot of humility. You may even have to get out on the ground, and you may have to crawl underneath all these legs of all these people who are trying to see Jesus and trying to touch him. And you may have to just crawl under his feet and under his legs just so that you can touch the hem of his robe. And when that woman did, it said that she was made well. Not so that she could be well, but so that he could get the glory. Because there's a lot of people that day that was made well, just from touching. They did the formula, they did the everything that was needed with this one woman. He said, who touched me? His disciples looked at him and said, who say? Everybody's touching me. He said, no, you don't understand. There's a woman who by faith saw what she couldn't see. Did what she didn't normally do. She repeated what's already been done by a lot of people. She could have said, these other people are touching and it's not working for them. And then she had to unify with the master who knew, who was sitting waiting for her to crawl under all those people to touch not him, but the hem of his robe. By faith. Her walls came tumbling down that day. Just like the visitor that told me today at our church, he said, after all that, he said, I came to Jesus and he said, I don't understand it other than I know I don't need programs and doctors and I don't need medicine. I just need you. Not to heal me. I just need you as my Lord and Savior. And he said, then trust in Christ as his Savior. He truly trusted him. And he said he was healed from all of that. All of that mess. I don't know what walls you've got in your life. I don't know what struggles you're holding on to. I don't know what chains bind you. But I can tell you right now, a lot of it's like with the children of Israel, it's because of us. And we heard a great message at our church today that said, you just got to forget what's behind you. Beautiful thing about that verse in the Bible says, forget what is behind you. It also says the next step after forgetting what is behind you, you have to reach forward. Not only reach forward, the next phrase says, and you got to press on. It's not going to be easy. You got to reach. You got to press. But I tell you right now, what's on the other side is so much better than what was on the behind side. Your next chapter hadn't even been written yet. It can be so much better if you let go of yesterday's chapter and you accept God in your journey with Him and enjoy the journey together on the next chapter. You got to let go of what's in the past. You say, but that means I don't love somebody. I don't love someone. No, it doesn't mean that. I guarantee you, if it's somebody we're holding on to that's gone on before us, I guarantee you right now, with all that's within me, I guarantee you, if they could come down here right today, they would tell us, what are you doing? Let go and move forward. There's too much to do. There's too much at stake. And God needs you. He needs me. He needs us. This church has lots to do. You may even have a short amount of time to do it. So be it if it is. But if it's not, we've got to keep on keeping on. There's too many walls that need coming down that are there just until we take a step of faith. So let's take those steps of faith. I'm going to ask Pastor Larry to be down here front to receive you. Maybe there's someone here that needs prayer. Or maybe you need to come down and have prayer. We're going to, Pastor Matt's here with me, our worship pastor, and he's playing a little bit. I'm going to give you a minute. I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to give you a little bit of time. If you need some prayer, he'll be down here in front to receive you and pray with you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace that is sufficient for all things, for your mercy, your goodness, your strength. It's you who works and wills through us for your good pleasure. So thank you for the strength in Christ to do all things. And Father, sometimes there's walls that you don't want to come down for whatever reason. We need the grace to accept that. The good news is, life's not about the wall. It's about the one who can bring down the wall, if it's your will. It's about you. You're our prize. You're our possession. You're our wonder, our Savior, Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Thank you for reminding us today of this. Help us to see what we can't see. Help us to do what's not already done. Help us to repeat what's already been done. And help us to find those we need to unify with to bring about a victory. Maybe we're a Shadrach meeting in Meshach and an Abednego. Maybe we're an Abednego meeting a Meshach. sometimes we just need to look for friends, not who will give us pity when we're down, but rather encourage us to take a step of faith, of boldness, and to partner and unify with them, because it's strength in numbers, especially when you need to take a step of faith, to hold hand in hand. Can you imagine with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego holding hands, saying, help me walk through this fire. Let's walk through it together with boldness, strength, courage, because God's got some glory on the other side of this fire that only He can get, that only belongs to Him. We just get to play a part in it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.